Go to Colossians again, to chapter 1. I think we'll begin with verse 9. Wherefore we also, from the day we heard it, do not cease praying for you, and asking that you may be filled with the full knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want to pause there on this point, because it, in a way, relates to some of the thing we were talking about earlier tonight. I think I said to you a couple of weeks ago that this means understanding in the Spirit. In fact, you could really translate it that way. Understanding in the Spirit. Now, you need to realize, we all need to realize, of course, that our communication with God is in the Spirit. Wherever God has broken through with visions of some kind or experiences of a special nature, these are not the norm. As Christ said to Thomas, "You have seen me, and therefore you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet have believed." In other words, it is not God's common desire to give to Christians special, unusual experiences of a more or less visual nature. Although we do not discredit the idea of visions, and occasionally Paul had them, and others, Peter, but it was an occasional thing. The common thing was that there would be a communication in the Spirit, that we would sense deeply within what it is that God wanted of us, and that would be a stable, ongoing thing. There are many, again, one of the problems with some of the churches that specialize in these special experiences is that the person feels sort of left out or substandard if he hasn't had a vision or some special experience. But the Bible shows us that that is rather the unusual, and that the person who has to have such a thing is probably the substandard one rather than the person who does not have such a thing. The Lord just simply wants to let us go on in a normal relationship. It's just like with marriage. In the early days of courting or dating, there are, what shall I say, special experiences of enjoyment that are a little bit unusual as far as the norm of marriage is concerned. Now, the movies would like you to believe that year after year in marriage, you will always be up on cloud nine. Well, you see, you could never get your work done if you were. The person... you know how it is with young people who are either going steadily or are about to get married, and they're not worth a thing because they're always on cloud nine, you see, with all of these ecstatic experiences. Well, that's not the way marriage is really intended to be. In fact, you almost have to get them married so they mount to something and get the work done. Now, the same thing is true in the Lord's work. If you're always bolting off on ecstatic experiences, you're not getting much work done. You're just being ecstatic. And the thing you want is to get that power in the heart that will help you to make progress in the Lord's work and in your own heart, and not dissipate the whole thing, a lot of ecstatic experiences. So keep that in mind. In the early days of the church, in the beginnings of Pentecost, when Pentecost came, the beginnings, there was a lot of ecstatic experience and so forth. But then there was a settling down to the road work of doing the work of God, and the energy was translated into salvation of souls and the praying for the people that needed it and so forth. And I want to emphasize again that that's the thing that I like about our coming together, because I think there's a lot of road work being done, and there's not a dissipation in ecstatic experiences. This is a sane, sensible, meaningful approach to walking with Christ. And I don't know, whoever wants to disagree with me, have that privilege, but that's the way the Scripture leads out here. So, this is understanding in the Spirit, not with the mind. We simply cannot really put this thing together in the mind. We have to sense what God wants within, and not be concerned about what other people think about it. The Lord has His experiences for you. He has His ways of doing things. I told them up there at the camp, the leader came to me and said, I've got a list of things here that the counselors were concerned about. They'd like to have me suggest you. And I said, you can read me the list, but I'm not going to do anything about it, because I said, I came here, and I got the counselors together and told them this publicly. I said, look, I canceled 5 meetings to come up here to this conference because I believe the Lord wanted me to come. I said, the Lord either has given me a message or he hasn't. And if he's given me a message, I want you just to open your hearts and listen to it and let the Spirit of God do whatever he wants to. But I said, I'm not going to move in any framework that you might set up. So this is the way we have to call it, because we have to sense in the Spirit what God wants us to do. So as you live your life out before the Lord, don't look around what other people are doing, saying, thinking, or anything else. You let the Word of God minister to your heart, and let the Spirit of God speak to you as to what he wants you to do and how he wants you to live out your life for him. Because we all have a different kind of ministry, a different kind of personality. The Lord deals with us all differently. We're individuals. We're not automatons or marionettes or something like that. We're just individuals. You have to deal with your children on them, sometimes a different basis, because they're different individuals. And what goes for one doesn't go for another. You have to be sensitive to what that particular person needs. You've got to know how far to push and when to stop pushing and start pulling. So you just have to be sensitive in the Spirit to your own children. And therefore, and then you can see how much more the Lord has to be sensitive to us, and we have to be sensitive to him. And our walk with him is a very personal thing, and not subject to putting in a box. See, so often the church has put this thing in a box. They got it all boxed, packaged, and tied up with a neat ribbon, and they dispense boxes, like Christmas packages, you see. They dispense all the goodies to the people. And that's not the way you work it. It's a personal, individual thing, and it's got to be spiritual or understanding in the Spirit. And that's the way you know the will of God. You become filled with a sensitivity to what it is he wants out of your life. And you walk along with him in it. And you keep your heart open, your spirit open to commune with him. Now, it is not easy to walk the Christian life. We do not always have the strength to do what we probably feel we should do. But always keep that channel of communication open to the Lord. If there's something you're balking at, tell him about it. You know, just open the thing up and say, look, Lord, there's something here that's bugging me and troubling me, and I just want to talk to you. I want to put it out on the table. There it is. I can't really do much about it. I don't seem to be able to get hold of this thing the way I should. Maybe it's a personal problem. Maybe it's a temper problem, something like that. But Lord, I can't seem to get hold of this thing. It's out here. I know it. And you know it. And I want you to know that I am concerned about it. And then let him begin to do the thing that he needs to do. But because you run afoul of some quicksands here or there, it doesn't mean that everything is down the drain, you know. You'll wrestle with the Lord the rest of your life. You'll spend a lot of hours wrestling with the Lord over things that maybe you know in your heart you can't handle, or you got off the track somewhere, you got out in a quicksand, and you're just wrestling. But don't feel that because you dropped into the quicksand for a minute that that's the end of everything. It's just something that something came along, you had the experience, and you work it out with the Lord, and he takes care of it for you. But always keep that communication, that spirit with spirit communion open to the Lord, and be honest with him and above board, and he will work out your life. But if you start lining up your life to the rules that other people lay out, or the formulae, I've talked to you many times about this, but how many books there are that lay it all out for you, A, B, C, and D, of just exactly how a Christian ought to act, and what he ought to do, and how his progress ought to be, and so forth. Throw them all away, because they're just confusion. They're just confusion. I don't mean throw all books away. It might not be bad, but keep the Bible. Avoid, let me just urge upon you from now to the end of your days, avoid pattern Christianity, like the plague. You just get into a personal, dynamic relatedness to Christ and let him lay out the program for you the way he wants it. All right, so he says then we are filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He also says that you may walk worthily of the Lord in all things, pleasing the Lord in all things. In every good work, bearing fruit and growing by the knowledge of God, would be one way to put it, or in respect to the knowledge of God. Either way, maybe the latter is the best. Growing in respect to the full knowledge of God. Being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness or with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has made you sufficient to be or unto a part of the inheritance of the saints in light, or a portion of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, one thing is very clear here. The power comes from God. Now, that is very clear. And that there is no truth in the New Testament more certain than the fact that Christian growth and development comes by the power of God. Well, we get impatient on a thing. We want to push ourselves along and put ourselves together real, very quickly to be a saint in 1 hour by a hothouse procedure of some kind or trip up to the altar or something like that. This is not the way it works. The Scripture says that there is a force at work in your life, a power, the power of God, that is daily bringing you through to the place of perfection. And if you hasten the process, you're going to come to grief. If you try to fight it out yourself, and in other words, a person always has that optimistic idea that if we really would work on this thing, we could handle it. And we kind of think maybe we're being a little lax about it because we're not working on it and not shoring up. Well, avoid again, like the plague, efforts to shape your or to control yourself by sitting on the lid of the teapot and hoping the steam won't blow everything up. Human beings get a head of steam built up in their hearts, in their lives, you know, over many things. You try to hold that thing down. And you may hold it down for 1 week and it blows the next week. You can hold it down for 20 years and blow up in those 21st. That is the nature of life. You can keep yourself under complete control for 5 years, 10 years in a particular thing and then blow up on it if it's only your control that's involved here. Because something comes along that throws you for a loop. It has to be the power of God working deep down changes in our hearts that don't simply put a lid on the head of steam, but eliminate the pressures that cause you to blow. In other words, by changing your attitude toward things. Instead of blowing up over business things, your attitude is different. You don't even, you just go along and let the Lord work things out for you. Or your home, a lot of things around the house are frustrating and they tend to tear you apart, you know. So you can either go around in a straitjacket trying to keep your head on your shoulders, or you can just open up to the Lord about it and say, Lord, this whole house is a hang up to me and I would like to have you give me the grace to go through it and to handle it and not to blow up over it. I have to say to you that many Christians are being put through a process that is strange to them of tearing off the veneer that has covered them up and exposing the understructure there. And while in that process, the Christian is confused and distressed and in some perhaps a dark place, And they think maybe that the Lord has forsaken them, or that they have lost him somewhere. And they do things that are strange to them. But what is happening is that God is uncovering areas of the life that need to be exposed to him for treatment. Now, you can have things covered up in your life. You don't even realize that that tendency is there, perhaps, or that weakness, until the Lord pulls off the cover and says, wait a minute, there's something down here that we've got to get at. Or it's like a boil, you see. You've got to bring the boil to the surface so he can get it out, you see, get the core out of there. So deep in the system of all of us Christians are many things that God is having to bring to the surface. And he will put you through strange experiences sometimes to bring those things to the surface that he wants to deal with, so that it can be really treated and healed and cured, rather than just kept under the surface to explode at some inopportune moment. That is extremely important to all of us to listen to tonight. Let us realize that as we come to Christ and put ourselves in his hands, he is not so fickle that he's going to kick you out the door the minute something goes wrong with you. You're there. You're in his family. And every single one of you here tonight have areas that God is, in one way or another, uncovering and exposing to cure for you, to deal with you on that. And he's not leaving you. He's just helping you to get real. And that's what he wants. He wants you real, right straight through to the core. So that when you come into his kingdom, you're not coming in with a lot of hidden problems. They're going to all be out of there by the time you get into his kingdom. And he's taken them out as you walk along the earth. A lot of us are very proud. We've walked in self-control for some time, and a Christian can become quite self-satisfied with that self-control. And then all of a sudden, the Lord brings something that flips you, you see. Because he wants you to know that there is no such thing as self-control. It's got to be God's control, or it's phony. Well, it's an unpleasant thing to go through, but it's just part of the life process. But Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Then he goes on to say, but the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, will be found unto praise and honor and glory, appearing of Jesus Christ. So you go through these tests and let others go through theirs. Let everybody go through his own private tests and leave him alone. Let God work it out for him or her. And let God handle that thing, and don't be in there messing around with it and trying to push him into this mold or that mold. Just let God work with him. Leave him alone, and God will help him. Well, this is part of the full knowledge of God. We're growing in respect to the full knowledge of God. There are facets of God you don't know anything about, and you're not going to get it in one lesson. You're going to learn it over the years. One of the tragedies of the seminary student who goes out of the seminary into the pulpit is that he's tried to compress into 3 years the totality of the knowledge of the Bible, and you just don't do that. The Bible has to be learned by experience. You can't jam it all into a notebook and get up in a pulpit and preach it. You've got to get this Bible by experience, and it takes years and years of the experiences God puts you through illuminating the Word. And there's no way to encapsulate it or condense it or pre-freeze it or anything else. It's something that has to be lived out in life. And that's why in Timothy he says you shouldn't put novices in the position of overseeing the flock. That's it. They just haven't lived out long enough these experiences to know what God is talking about. You can hear more foolishness out of a young minister who's got some academic knowledge of the Bible. It's tragic. I don't know how you correct it, but it's there. I know how it should have been corrected, because the turning out seminary students like a mill, you know, is a sad thing. They should be put with an older minister for at least 30 years. Well, you know, you feel... I thought I wouldn't want to be quoted on anything I said till I got to be 30, and when I got to be 30, I decided I'd make it 40 before I'd be... Now I guess it'll be 70. I feel like I want to be quoted. But no, God, the Lord puts us through the mill, and it takes years of being put through the mill to really understand what this Bible has to say, and you can't just get it academically. You've got to have it. You know, it isn't just a question of reading the grammar, the English structure of the sentence, or the Greek, either one. It's a question of just living it out with God. And that's a time process. Well, don't be discouraged with your lives. I keep telling you about this because I want you to understand that it isn't your business to hastily shape yourself up so you look like a very good Christian. It's your business just to go along with God every day and let Him knock you into shape. And He will, by this and that means, of His own choosing. Well, all right, I think we'll stop there. Dear Father, we thank You for this Word of God we believe to be the Word of truth because we've taken it right out of the Word. And we accept tonight the processes, severally, which You are putting us through to perfect us, to shape us up and straighten us out. We're not panicking and we're not getting excited. We're just going along with the Lord. We're not rushing after some ecstatic experience or some special thing from God. We're just living day by day in the grace of Christ and trusting Him to help us come to grips with all that we need to in our lives. We commit each one of us to Thee tonight for the week ahead. In Christ's name, amen.